Hey everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello, everyone. I am Reed.
And this is CSI Talks. Welcome back, everyone. Another week, another episode of CSI Talk. Hi. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to let y'all know that this is a safe space for you. This is a safe space for you. It's always going to be a safe space for you. I just want to let you know that you are loved wherever you are, whoever you are. You are loved.
And we do have something to talk about. Reason why we did not post last week, it was hectic for Kari. And I was just coming down with a very bad cold that more than kicked me in the butt. We recorded this episode the Friday after I got better, aka Black Friday. Happy belated Thanksgiving to those who celebrated in November.
We are very thankful for each and every one of you, and we love you. We got some news. Season 3 of CSI Vegas comes back February 18th. It's a Sunday. CSI's now, it's on a Sunday. Our weekly investigations are all on the Sundays. I have some questions. First of all, where is my boy, George Tolson? I just remember that he's got a horse. Do you guys remember that he's got a horse, okay? He rescued a horse in season one. What happened to that horse? Who was taking care of that horse? Okay, is Alex taking care of that horse now?
Serena?
Or Serena or Max, what is happening to that horse? Okay, I need to know. Is it being taken care of? Does it have like food on a daily basis? Like, what is happening? Also, who is Penny engaged to? Sarah Gilman, I love you. You're the love of my life. We're still on the campaign of making Penny a series regular. Please, whoever works in the show and is listening to us, make Penny a series regular. Listen to me right now. Make that girl a series regular, okay? Also, who is Penny engaged to? I need to know. Also, our boy Bo is coming back. We love him. We cannot wait to see him interacting with Max and Allie and Josh and Penny. Give me more Bo and Penny. Give me Bo and Penny being the lead.
Give us the comedic duo. Come on, we had that with Rick. We want it with Bo and Penny. Hey, we need my initials. We need my initials. BP. Bo and Penny.
Please give us Bo and Penny being the lead investigator in like a funny day. You know, we're like, it would be really funny. Please let us know what are they doing to get Josh out of jail? What is happening in Seattle? Bail? What about Trey? What is happening to Trey? Did he confess that he do it or not? Because you guys know, I'm a Josh apologist above anything else. I don't think he did it. Bree thinks he did it. I don't think he did it because if you guys don't remember, he was probably charged with murder because he probably killed somebody that killed his mom. But I don't think he did it. Bree thinks he did it, but I don't think he did it.
I'm not 100% sure on either or.
Well, anyways, so today we're covering one of Bree's favorite episodes.
Skleagol.
Since this is happening during the Ray era, since it's one of her favorite episodes, she's going to take the lead on this episode. Let's do this.
So, we start on a dark night.
This sounds like a hilly episode right off the bat. We start on a dark night. Most episodes of CSI stars in a dark night.
Okay, and somebody's, because they're trying to break into a house through glass, and when they get eventually in, we see them crawling up the squirt stairs very creepily, like a squid skin crawler. For those of you, sorry, don't look it up, it's hella creepy. He goes to a bedroom with a woman, and that woman is played by Anne Margaret, who was very popular in the 1960s. One of her roles was Kim McAfee in the movie musical based on a Broadway musical, The Bye-bye, birdie. And she screams, but she's still attacked. Next thing, it's early morning. In comes the CSIs.
They work the night shift, by the way, and they're just called in the morning. We don't know how time works. Time works funny in the CSI world. I mean, they work nights, but they are called in the morning because the crime happened during the night. Anyways.
Could be in the very beginning of the morning of the, could be at the very end of the night shift, because we know that, because it depends on of when the episode was.
Yeah.
We see blood on some pictures. We don't know what's going on yet. And the CSIs arrive on the scene. Catherine and Ray are inside. Nick Grego is still kind of being hazed. I believe he's still being hazed when Ray is newer.
Greg is like that younger sibling to all of them.
Yeah.
He's always going to be annoyed no matter what.
Nick talks to one of the EMTs who just saved a bunch of people from a house fire. That is important. Very important.
Yeah, keep that in mind, everyone.
Yeah, and as the CSIs talk, Ray Ghost talks to the victim. Her name is Margaret Wilton. Through this specific case, Catherine eventually and Nick go to a sex shop.
Okay.
That's when Nick finds out Catherine's into some kinky thing, because she is known by the first name.
Well, I mean,
Chris goes to Lady Heather, Catherine goes to sex shops for cases. And then they get a call. It's another scene. It's similar. Attack.
I mean, it's a serial at this point.
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you both.
And at this attack, the victim is a mother, and in the call was a little girl. The little girl gets the name because of in the car wash. Squeagle. Squeagle. Hence the name. And the person who did it is never caught. We find out eventually he has heterochromia, which is two different color eyes.
It's so funny how they find that out, because Brad is talking to the little girl, but he's actually talking to the doll.
Yeah. We found out why the woman was attacked. She was cheating on her husband. So is a revenge. Because he only attacks those who've done wrong. Because you find out, somehow, Margaret Wilton lost her son who was in a wheelchair. We don't find out how exactly, besides drowning, until later on. The news gets on and on about somebody attacking every people. The mother was named Carrie Jones. She had an affair. She was attacked twice. First time on September 30th. This is actually in early fall, so it should still be dark when they arrive. And then she's attacked again. And killed in the second attack. This, because Margaret was attacked late October 13th.
This is a case in which I think the profiler would be actually really good, because the profiler would be able to literally profile a Squeagle. I don't think they would find him.
Because like, of the whole body.
Yeah.
Yes, because we find out he's in a full black latex suit. Squiggle was also based on a callback. Squiggle is in the love of 26 dark prophecy. Black Squiggle is a successor to Witcher Squiggle, aka White Squiggle, who was introduced in level 26 Dark Origins. As they all keep investigating, keep trying to find out who he is. Only thing we know, full black latex bodysuit, including the face. He has little nostrils to breathe.
Kind of like snake-less. Think Voldemort. Yes. Knows.
Yes. Old dragon noses.
Or dragon noses, if you're not a Harry Potter fan.
And how he attacked Margaret Wilton, he watched her first. He was hiding, sometimes below the bed, sometimes above her. eating oranges, which is kind of weird.
It means that he had access to the house, but how did he have access to the house? They never find out, actually. They never find out how he has access to the houses.
Yeah, like, this caused him a double muddle of triple saying like vigilante, which is kind of like the Green Arrow and Stalker.
You know what? It reminds me of that case they had in the early seasons, that guy that stalked Dick.
Yeah.
That used to live inside his victims' houses and eventually killed them. One of the victims looked like one of Nick's friends.
They never find much physical evidence except for his sweat. And
Nays, not a racist.
Yeah. When they go to the sex shop and find out the bio's name listed is Ian Moon. That's also important. That's going to be said later. Very creepily. He only texts people who are like heroes or well-loved with dark secrets.
His victim type, like you can watch Criminal Mind, they would say victimology. Their victims are always someone that society thinks that did something really good, but actually they didn't.
And like we said, the victim Julie is attacked twice. She does not survive the second attack.
Yeah, then, the first attack was a warning.
Yes. Then the EMT is attacked and killed. And we find out that Ian Moon bought two suits. We also find out that the EMT was setting the fires to save people. Not that. And somebody who's known Martha Whitton for decades comes to the hospital, tries to talk to her. We find out that she has letters that she never sent to this person. This person, we find out, is the father of her dead son. Her dead son that was in a wheelchair. He also could spy out his victims through eyehole cameras.
We're obviously talking about someone that had access to the victims' houses and lived inside their house, watching them, and looked at them through the cameras when he couldn't do it.
Correct. Margaret Dick gets attacked again. She survives it, but barely. As Cam goes back, Squeagle says, and reason why this is one of my favorite stories is because it used to give me nightmares.
That's a great reason.
Yeah. Well, it's because soon as stuff gives me nightmares, yes, I can watch all of CSI without getting nightmares. So, Kara, do you have any more comments on this episode?
Well, this episode is from the Gray Era. We've done an episode about if this era it's good or not. I think it is. Okay, I think it is. I think it has given us some good villains like Squeagle.
Haskell.
I was like, what's his name again? Yeah, Nate Haskell. I think they lost a huge opportunity with Squiggle here. I think Squiggle should have made a comeback.
He should have. We both want him to come back again.
Because they never do find out. I mean, I really like when they find out who the culprit is, but I also like when they don't find out who the culprit is. Because it keeps the mystery alive.
And the thing is, the only person who has done anything with Squiggle who might, because we don't know if Catherine's coming back or not. We don't. But
yeah, I hope she does.
Well, me too. But, you know, if Squiggle comes back, it's a perfect time for Catherine to talk about some institutional memory.
And we all know that this would not happen under Max's. I mean, I cannot say that because I don't know what's going to happen with Josh. But.
Well, so. Everything with Ray did not pertain to this case.
I know that.
Because also in this episode, you find out that Margaret actually killed her son. In a mercy killing, because he wanted to die.
Yeah, but still, she could have been arrested, right? Because you could not euthanize your own son.
Nope. But even though they CSIs figure that out, they don't arrest her.
Murder, though.
There's no statute of limitations on murder.
Well, but there are sometimes the judge, when a children is killed under the gaze of their parents, the judge will not arrest the parent, will not sentence the parents to jail because the loss of the kid is already a sentence in itself. Maybe the CSI saw, like, there's no way we can take her to court because twice she was a victim of Squeagle. And then we're going to take her to court for killing her son.
Some 50 years ago.
We don't even have sufficient evidence to prove that she did it.
Mm-hmm. Except for whole word of mouth through letters.
Yeah, that's not even sufficient evidence to prove that she actually did it. And the CSI that actually finds out about Squeagle not being a person, not having a name, is Ray.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think Ray was a good addition to the team?
Yes. Except for the Nate Haskell stuff.
I think he could handle Nate Haskell well. I mean, you can see it since the beginning, since the first episode they were introduced, like, because they were introduced in the same episode, right? You can see it from the top when they were introduced, and then...
From 19 down on. From 19 down.
He was like, we're gonna get you. He was bluffing. He knew them well. He couldn't do that.
Yes, and Ray is the one that figured out the anagram.
Yeah.
Ian Mu. Rearrange it. I from Ian. M from Ian. Moon. M from Moon. O from Moon. N. Moon. O. Moon. E. Ian. I. No one. Gave me nightmares as kids. The I am no one part.
You know, that would be a great... Yeah, that would be a great thing for game night.
Frequent anagrams?
Yeah.
There's one anagram that's very important in one of my other fandoms because it was a spinoff.
You know, I think the CSIs could have gotten him. He didn't leave any trace. He didn't leave any evidence behind besides his DNA. And his DNA was not on aphids.
And the next, so... According to my research, there's been a book. I don't have this book, I don't think so. That is a follow-up of Squeagle. So Squeagle was actually based off the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Squeagle was the main antagonist in the book, Level 24, where it happened to him. Level 26, Dark Origins, and particularly cruel and sadistic villain. His cruelty still learns that he can't be classified in 24 levels of dangerous, established by the FBI, making him the only known criminal to be ranked level 26 during the first time of the first volume. So Squeagle always wears a latex-filled bodysuit which allows him to never leave fingerprints or traces of DNA. Despite being a simple human, Squeagle is extremely skilled contortionist and is able to realize purely superhuman themes. He can move without any noise, hide in very tight stashes, pass through awful petty passages. He's also especially talented killer, and despite his craziness, he's very intelligent. Squeagle is the most wanted criminal by the FBI. He committed countless atrocious murders in every continent. And his victims include children and babies. His nickname Squeagle comes from the noises heard by a young boy when his mother was killed in a car wash. Once an FBI agent named Steve Dark has almost succeeded in apprehending Squeagle, but later retaliates by killing his family after the dog chooses to leave the FBI. In present day, Squeagle continues his murders. After a particularly ignoble motor of a baby, a former colleague of Doc, convinces him to get back into the service. Squiggle still determines the life of Doc, notably by raping his wife. He also kidnaps and brutally rapes three teenagers, born six priests alive, and attempts to torture the widows of 9/11 fighters to death. Later, he kidnaps Doc's wife and kills her, but he's finally killed by Doc. Sounds familiar, doesn't he? To Criminal Minds fans. A serial killer is also named Squiggles, also was a full latex bodysuit, appears in the fourth episode of the 11th season of CSI Crimes Investigation. However, he also uses the alias Ian Moon, anagram of I Am No One. The episode also contains references to the book, such as the Clone Wars sequence.
Wait, you think he's like Foyette?
Yeah. Think about it.
Oh, as far as we know, Foyette did not rape anyone. I know, there's people that say that he raped Haw. I mean, there's a conspiracy theory that he raped Hodge. And you know what this comes from? Because in Criminal Minds, they say that killers that cannot perform sexually, they decide to stab their victims as a substitute to the act itself. Because Hodge was stabbed a few times, people think that Boyette technically sexually assaulted Hodge. No, I don't think it happened. Do you think it happened?
Not Haley, but we don't know what he did during his quiet years.
No, but do you think that he sexually assaulted Hodge?
No.
Yeah, I saw a serial line that people said that he sexually assaulted Hodge, and I was like, what are you guys on? He didn't even do it to Billy. He didn't even have time to do it. It could sound like Floyd. I don't know. Well, I think they dropped the ball with him.
Yeah, she could have been a returning character. Sweet. Thingus. Because his modus operandi was killing people who were thought to be heroes, but were actually the exact opposite.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It would have fit with the Ansonwick, with the Ansonwick's premises. You know what? Anyone that is working in CSI Vegas right now, if you're listening to this, do we want returning characters? We do. But if you're running out on good guys, give us the bad guys now. Okay? Make some of the bad guys return. Give us Natalie Davis. Okay? Give us Squiggle. Make Nate Haskell have a kid somehow. I don't know. Give us the bad guys. Now, if you guys ran out of good guys to return, give us the bad guys now.
We want Squiggle. We want Squiggle.
Because I think right now, Squiggle will not get away with it. Especially not with Max machines. Come on, she's got a machine that can reconstruct DNA. Come on now. My mother can do that. She can reconstruct DNA in a machine. She could definitely catch Squiggle now.
Oh, but what if Max has something dark from her past that Squiggle digs up?
Not Max.
Like,
not my mother. You're talking about my mother.
Because why did her and her husband get a divorce?
Because she works long hours, like Gavin.
But still, DB and Barbara, up until after CSI Crimes Investigation, they had a good marriage and he worked long hours. It wasn't until he was basically retired that they got divorced. And that made him go back to work in CSI Cyber.
You're talking about my mother. She couldn't hurt a flower.
Couldn't hurt a fly?
That's my mother you're talking about, okay?
Okay, but what if somebody on the CSI team has a dark secret?
You know what? From what Josh has said in season one, I think he probably does. but I still would do anything for that boy. Do I mean?
Yeah.
Do you really think they have some bets, some secrets?
Who doesn't have secrets from the past?
I mean, I know. But Squirrel will come back and threaten to expose Catherine for keeping some secrets in the past. Like, for example,
what happened to the Ray secret.
Exactly. Because she was not the only one that kept that secret. Everyone in the team did. But she's the only one from the team that is currently working for the same lab.
Yeah, you could take her away from Vegas, but you can now take Vegas out of her. The team gets a second crack at a reclusive millionaire who may have gone away with Mortal 14 years earlier when a new body is found in his home. It's the flashback episode when they put a horrible wig on Georgia Box from season 14.
Oh, is that the one that Catherine makes a special appearance?
Yes. And the Eckley gets to go back to being his drug self.
Oh, is that from the DB era?
Yes.
We're covering the DB era. I love the DB era. I love DB. I love the DB era, except that one episode. You guys know which one I'm talking about. Unfortunately, we're going to cover it.
No, DB was supportive of Sarah. DB was holding, he was one of the few people, him and Morgan, were one of the few people.
No, I know. What I'm saying is that I don't like that episode, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay, so this was it for this week's episode of CSI Talk, guys. We love you guys. We love you guys so much. Please stay safe. Drink your water. We love you.
Love y'all. Bye.
Eat something today. Bye.
Bye.